deep roots, big tree, strong enough.
You asked for it. Well, actually, you didn't yet. But we are now lnuts.com. Me and Moonbeam were sitting out in the garage brewery the other day, and sitting on the gold velvet couch. I call it the swanky gold velvet couch. I brought with me into this relationship several years ago. I've had this couch a long time, a gold velvet couch. It's from the 1970s. I think it's from the orgy days. I think it seats about 40 people. And it wouldn't fit through the door into the house. But we were sitting on that gold velvet couch, and somehow we came up with the name of lnuts.com. And according to Moonbeam, that is indeed the final answer. So with all that, I think we'll listen to the rest of this good tune. This is Texas Johnny Brown, quite fitting for the mood of the day, and I'll be right back.
Worked all night long in a groundhog sawmill, 7 days a week in a sharecropper's field, for half a sack of flour and a half a sack of meal. We might have begged and borrowed, but we too proud to steal. And that's a sure thing, yeah, to tell you where I'm coming from. Well, I'm telling you the truth, nothing but the truth, yeah. So help me, John. So help me, John. Oh, well, I'm telling you the truth, nothing but the truth. Hey, so help me, John.
So there you go. It's going to be apparent that I have a music problem. I don't seem to know when to clip these things, and I don't really like to shut them down when I get them started. It sounds good, and I don't want to turn it off. So I guess this may turn into like a semi-blues show as well. But anyway, this is show number 2. Welcome to lnuts.com. I procured the website last night and uploaded some files to it, so you'll see a link on the old El Lago site, which I'll leave up for a while to come. But I think I keep the show on lnuts.com, and hopefully pretty much everything propagate over to that new site. El Lago, as you know from the last show, was pretty much built around the town of El Lago, E-L Lago, and we moved everywhere but there. So it's kind of senseless to keep the old site up. But this was going to be the cooling show. That's what I had talked about last time. I talked about cooling could in and of itself be a show. I don't know if that's true or not, but I think we got quite a bit to talk about just chilling wort, especially down here in Texas. It's December. It's hot. It's 80 degrees. I brewed today. I sweated. I guess it's all normal to me. But I use a Therminator, as you well know from looking at Brutus. And I used an immersion chiller, just like most everybody else does. I started out with an immersion chiller, and then I moved to 2 immersion chillers. I would put 1 chiller in an ice bucket and try and siphon the wort through that into the carboy, and that worked all right in Texas. I tried the standard method of the immersion chiller, running a hose through it. It's pretty hard to knock the temperature down, that thermal mass, especially of 11-gallon batches. With 85-degree Texas water. It just didn't work out. It took like 2 hours before I can get it down to anywhere below a reasonable pitching temp. So I moved on to the Therminator. I found a friend who had one for sale. He had used it a little bit, and I bought it off his hands pretty cheap, and it fits Brutus nicely, and that's what I use now. So first I would say that the number one thing with a Therminator versus the immersion chiller is sanitization or sterilization. Either one, the darn thing's pretty hard to clean. I will admit that. It is a pain in the ass to get anything that goes in of it out of it. I purchased this from used, like I say, and I think to this day I'm still flushing crap out of it, to be honest. I don't know how that could really be prevented. And I'm pretty sure what I'm flushing out of this thing, in my opinion, I know there's probably hop particulates, but I'm pretty sure what I'm seeing when I first bought it, and I flushed it for about a week straight, getting Irish moss out of it. So as a result, I've moved on to World Flock and won't have anything to do with Irish moss anymore, at least where the Therminator is concerned. But I like to sterilize my Therminator because of that. I don't know exactly how clean it is. It's hard to tell that it's perfectly clean. So I read online somewhere with a Therminator, the guy that makes the thing, I heard it, or maybe I dreamed it. But I'm pretty sure he put it together, and it's all soldered plates. And I seem to remember it was done at like a bazillion degrees. So what I do is put the Therminator, I fill it half full of water after I flush it after my brew day, when I'm done flushing it. But before the next brew day, the night before the brew day, I fill the Therminator half full of water, and I put it in a darn oven. And I put it at 500 degrees, and I bake that sucker for 1 hour straight. And you can look in the oven, and it's kind of steaming out of all the ports, and it just looks cool. And I know everything that may be in it is just frying, and I don't have any worries about sanitization, because I am sterilizing this puppy. And the next morning I get up and I'm ready to go, hook it up to Brutus, and I'm pretty comfortable knowing it's clean enough for me. So with that said, I'm gonna move on to the little boy's room for a minute, and then I'm gonna get into the heart of how I cool on Brutus. Thank you.
hey baby, yes I've been drinking. Shouldn't come around, I know, but I found myself in trouble, babe, and I had no place else to go. I got some whiskey from a bar. Got some cocaine from a friend. Man, I just had to keep on moving, baby, until I was back in your arms again. Yes, I'm guilty. Well, I'm guilty. I'll be guilty till the day that I die. How come I never do what I'm supposed to do? How come nothing ever turned out right? Well, you know, babe, how it is with me. I just can't stand myself. It takes a whole lot of medicine, babe, for me to pretend that I'm somebody else.
So with all that said, in a previous episode, I guess the real point is how I chill. And again, I tried several ways to chill the wort down to some reasonable pitching temperature. But what I decided to use is ice. And that's nothing new to a lot of brewers. But I am in Texas. I don't know how anybody in Texas can chill wort down below anything under 80 degrees or so inside of 2 hours without using about 4 bags of ice. And that's pretty much what I do. Every brew day, Moonbeam goes and gets 4 bags of ice, kind of like clockwork. But how I use a Therminator first is very much like everybody else uses a Therminator or any immersion chiller. I use a garden hose, and I knock the temperature down from boil temps down to below 140, which is my critical temperature. I try and reach as fast as utterly possible. And to get below what I would call, and a lot of beer scientists and studies by beer scientists have proven, the DMS threshold pretty much stops, the wort stops producing DMS from boil temps down to 140 degrees. So in my opinion, and I've met with great success, in my opinion, the idea for me is to get the wort down below 140 as fast as possible. After that, I could really give a rat's butt if it takes all night to chill a batch. I mean, I really don't care. I'm not worried about boogers in the pot or nothing. I just boiled for 2 hours, and part of that with the lid closed at the very end. I'm certain there's nothing living inside of that kettle when it comes time to chilling. So the goal is, I use the hose to knock it down to 140. That takes 3 minutes on Brutus, even with Texas water, using a Therminator. It's the bat phone. Hold on. Hello. Look, Jamil, we've discussed this enough. I was the first to Whirlpool chill my wort, and I don't care. I'm getting tired of talking about it. I know you think I'm copying you, but I think you're copying me. You're the copycatter, Jamil. and I think I've said my piece. Goodbye. Okay, sorry about that. But really, I should say that was really Moonbeam. And that was a real phone call. She really did call. She's at the store. And I really did say that. And she probably thinks I'm nuts. And I really did hang up on her. So she'll probably call right back. But anyway, I thought that was a good opportunity to, and a good segue into Jamil Zainichev. It's hilarious to note that the more I studied Jamil, the more I realized this great hero brewer, and he really is, that him and I have a lot of processes and have had a lot of processes the same for many years. I've been recirculating the wort for chilling for a long time. It couples as a whirlpool also, which has many benefits, I feel, especially if you use a Therminator. You do not want to get crap in your Therminator, as I discussed earlier. But anyway, Jamil circulates his wort for chilling very much as I do, except he uses a copper coil and I use a Therminator. The Therminator is mounted below the kettle. I take the hot boiling wort out of the kettle and plug it into the wort inside of the Therminator. Out of the Therminator into the pump, the March pump, which I love March pumps. Out of the pump, back into the top of the kettle. And I set up a good circulation. That little tube you saw on the website and I discussed earlier, I believe the last show, sets up a very nice little whirlpool. It doesn't sling it around like an ice cream maker or nothing, but I mean, it sets up a very nice whirlpool, and the only whirlpool you need, you know, just a little bit of motion to keep all the trub and the hops and everything and all the gunk in the center of the pot. And then on the water inside of the Therminator, I hook up a garden hose, and like I discussed a while ago, and knock it down below 140 in about 3 minutes. I exhaust the water into the yard or wherever. And after I get below 140, I grab a home brew and sit back on the swanky gold velvet couch and just watch it. And I watch it go down to about 100, 110 or so. To get the thermal mass down below 120 or so. I think ice is pretty much useless above that. It melts right away, and you can put 20 bags in there and not accomplish anything. But after it gets down about 100, 110, then I'll stop the garden hose water, and I'll divert the ice water, which I have sitting in the HLT. I had previously filled it up with about 5 or 6 gallons of water, put in 4 7-pound bags of ice on a hot summer day. That's adequate. And I'll divert the water out of that pot through pump number 2 into the water inside of the Therminator. And the water outside of the Therminator, I'll divert that to the top of the HLT. And turn that baby on full blast with a March pump. And so you could see it's just coupling as a garden hose. It's nothing special, really, the way I chill. I just chill and using 2 pots. And it'll take from about 110. It'll take another 10, maybe 12, 15 minutes to get it down to about 60. I usually stop it at about 65, so it takes about 10 to 12 minutes or so beyond the knockout, I call it. The knockout's down below 140. So all in all, you're looking at a max about 20 minutes on a scalding hot Texas summer day to get a 212-degree boiling wort down to 60, 65, which I like to have as a pitching temp. And again, that's 11-gallon batches, so that's not too bad. I'm pretty satisfied with that. And there again, I don't care if it took all day anyway, really. The idea for me is to get below the DMS threshold. So that's pretty much how Brutus chills. I just sit back and watch, pretty much, and have a home brew or two. So with all that said, it's about time to take a little boys' room break and go check on the dog. Mm-hmm.
time, and I'm telling you the truth. This is Christmas time, and I'm telling you the truth. Christmas was made for all people, not just me and you. Wonderful Christmas, it's the best time of the year. I said wonderful Christmas, it's the best time of the year. Father and mother, and even brothers, they all seem to care. They buy Christmas. I ever had, I say the best time I ever had was when I was with my mom and dad. When we kids opened our presents just to see just what we had on Christmas. We had lots of toys, so many toys that was made from the land. And what made them so precious, our daddy made them by hand for Christmas.
So I guess that was it for the cooling show, all about the Therminator on Brutus. Not much different than other brewers do, really. I wouldn't say my processes are much different than anybody's. One thing I will say about Brutus as a whole, though, and the premise behind building Brutus, was to get consistency in my beers. Now, couple that with my perfectionist Virgo-ish nature, in the end, I've determined that I can really brew the same bad beer over and over, because it's in my nature to do the exact same thing every single time, and get very set in my habitual ways of adding things, measuring things, doing this and that. And if I don't stop myself sometime and just have a home brew and relax and maybe dump the hops in 2 minutes earlier than all the timers I have hooked up in the garage tell me to, you know, maybe one day I can make some great beer. And I luck out every now and then. But for the most part, it's all fun. So that leads me to the end of the show. And I guess I can maybe try and figure out where in the heck this thing is going. I know in the future I have this little cool little MP3 recorder coming in the mail I ordered. I intend to take that. It's a pretty nice quality little unit, so we'll see what it does. But I intend to take that around and do a few interviews with some of my club members. Maybe, just maybe, I can actually interview Mr. Johnny Max at brewcrazy.com. Johnny was very kind and plugged my little laid-back, apparently laid-back blues show. Blues and Brews, how's that sound? But maybe I can actually interview Johnny as well. But as a beer brewer, and as you know, I've been brewing for quite a while, it took me a long time. And hey, I'm going there, so hold on, I'm going to say it, okay? It took me a long time to admit that I might actually enjoy a cider every now and then. Now, I'm not a cider guy, and I don't want to do a 20-hour segment on ciders or nothing, because I'm a beer man, okay? I've always been a beer man, so they say. But I am fortunate and privileged to have as one of my very, very dear friends, I consider, to be the reigning AHA National Cider Maker of the Year, and that's Mr. John Jurgensen. Mr. John Jurgensen is a cider-making machine, and honestly, again, I'm not a big cider guy, but I'm kind of becoming one part-time. I still love my beer. I love to brew. I brew as often as I can, but after meeting Mr. John Jurgensen several years ago, he's a member of our club. He was one of my MCs of the Masternauts, the Mission Commanders, one of my first MCs, and one of my brewing idols. He's a brewing machine as well and won so many awards, Mr. John Jurgensen has. But he's also the reigning AHA Cider Maker of the Year. This year, he went to Florida and I'm sure he had a great time and collected his winnings and written up in Zymergy a few times. But knowing John so well, and John is a humongous NASA geek, one of my favorite, one of my idol NASA geeks, as you know, the Masternauts again are a bunch of NASA geek engineers. But he kind of got me into ciders a little bit. I wasn't a big cider guy, and honestly had probably never even really tasted a cider that I recall up to about 3 or 4 years ago after meeting John. And as a result, Moonbeam and I have a couple of ciders going away in the closet. They're going on about 4 months old right now. We have a couple of meads too, and all this is as a result of meeting John and learning about ciders. I am a cider and mead newbie by every stretch of the word. I'm a beer brewer. I always considered myself a beer brewer. Never once thought I would even remotely, possibly even like a cider. But I find after tasting John's ciders, they're extremely drinkable and very easy, I've learned, through John to make. And I can whip out a cider in about 10 minutes, really. As long as it takes to sterilize a carboy, bam, you're done. There's a lot of questions I'd like to ask Mr. John, and I would like to do an interview and see if I can't somehow chisel out some kind of information from John. Not saying he's tight-lipped, but John's just funny with his processes. And it would be a very enjoyable to sit here and do an interview and talk about that for a small segment. And then we'll get back to beer. Again, I'm not going to turn this into a big thing, but that's one interview I'd really look forward to doing. So with that said, I think this is about the end of the show. I know I'm keeping the shows around 30 minutes or so, something like that. I guess I'll learn how to talk more. But I'd like to get into a lot of things in the future. And I also need to say that in the last show, you may have heard my little Tweety bird in the other room. It's everything I can do to muffle that little shriek, shrill, that little thing's got. So as we speak, Moonbeam's been in there about 45 minutes or so, holding its little beak shut. So I think during the next show, I may just shove the little thing full of peanut butter or something. I don't know. It's just hard to muffle that sound. But that's our little bird we have. It's about 800 years old. So with all that, though, it is December. And I'd like to leave y'all with one more Christmas tune. I don't know if I'll pick it out here in a minute. I'm not sure what it's going to be. But it's Christmas time for Christmas music. And hey, what the heck, Santa Claus is coming to town. What do you think about that, John?
Just please let me be your Santa Claus. Christmas morning, sitting all around on your Christmas tree. I'm gonna be there Christmas morning, having fun just you and me. Tell you, baby.